Time for an update.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. This morning, President Obama will get an update on the nation's economy from a man who's no stranger to a financial fallout. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker served in that capacity as the nation was coming out of recession in the early 1980s. Volcker is also chairman of Obama's Economic Recovery Advisory Board. He's set to brief the president and his team on how the near $800 billion stimulus package is working. Today's the day we'll also see class action lawsuits filed against two big banks. Civil rights organization the NAACP claims Wells Fargo and HSBC forced African Americans into subprime mortgages. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
The NAACP says when black and white buyers had identical financial qualifications like income, credit scores, and down payments, whites were given lower interest rates. The group charges that black home buyers are 3.5 times more likely than whites to get a subprime loan. The lawsuits will be filed today in a federal court in Los Angeles. The suits could force banks to give up information on how the race of a loan applicant can be determined. It could also shed light on how federal bailout money is being spent. Both Wells Fargo and HSBC have received bank rescue funds. Neither bank is commenting on the lawsuit. In 2007, the NAACP sued 19 banks for charging African Americans higher interest rates. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Stocks are on a 3-day roll. The Dow is back above 7,000. It gained about 3.5% to close at 7,170. NASDAQ and S&P stocks rose about 4%. There was a big buying spree in Asia today. Talk of a new Chinese stimulus plan helped fuel that rally. Japan and Hong Kong shares were up 4 and 5%. Europe's trading higher this morning as well. Oil prices are around $47 a barrel as investors go back and forth over whether OPEC will announce a production cut at its meeting this weekend. Most analysts are expecting a 500,000 or 1 million barrel cut per day. Energy alternatives are suffering, too. The EU is slowing the flow of U.S. biodiesel into Europe. As of today, all American exporters will have to pay a tariff to sell the plant-based fuel in Europe. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Caitlin Carroll reports.
For the past few years, the U.S. biodiesel industry has happily chugged along, selling most of its output to Europe. Then fuel prices dropped, interest in biodiesel waned, and now the EU wants its producers to stay competitive with government-subsidized U.S. brands. Enter the tariff beginning today that will make U.S. biodiesel a dollar or two more expensive at European pumps.
I think the plan for the next 4 months is there will be no longer any emphasis or interest in exporting biodiesel out of the U.S. into Europe.
That's Mac Findlay. He handles sales and marketing at biodiesel maker Peter Kramer North America. Iowa State University economist Chad Hart says for an already small industry, this slowdown is a big blow.
I look for this to have a dampening impact on the market as a whole.
He says this could bruise the entire U.S. biodiesel industry. The EU will reconsider its decision in 4 months. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
New York's Attorney General and the Chairman of the House Financial Services Committee are talking about linking executive pay to the long-term company performance. The Wall Street Journal reports this morning Andrew Cuomo and Congressman Barney Frank and others are behind such a plan, but no legislation has been introduced.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Major League Baseball officially starts in just a couple of weeks, but the economic fallout has led to some pretty anemic spring training attendance. Let's bring in business of sports commentator Diana Nyad to talk about it. Diana, are these lackluster numbers a precursor to what we can expect in the stands this year?
Well, Steve, if you look at some of the numbers and if you've watched any of the preseason games, you know, spring training over the last couple of weeks, I mean, there are vast areas of empty seats. The Angels, for instance, are averaging usually during spring training down there. They get about 6,000 people per game. This year, 3,000. So if that's a precursor, as you say, to the regular season and attendance is going to be down something, let's say it's just down 12, 15, 20%. Of course, not only are we counting ticket sales, these teams count on 20 to 30% 10% of their entire revenue comes from outright ticket sales. Then you add on top of that the parking, the concessions, the merchandise sales at these ballparks. So we can see the math is pretty easy to do. If they're going to be down, you know, that many numbers of people, they're going to be down a lot in revenue this year.
But, Diana, tickets aren't near as much as they are for other sports, NFL and the others. Doesn't that count for something?
No, it's a good point, and it does count. I mean, last year, the 08 average ticket around the ballparks was $25, a couple cents more than that. I mean, the NBA has gotten up to close to $50 now. The NFL is at $72 for an average ticket. But the difference in baseball is that it's largely a family game. People are going with their entire family. They're buying, you know, the Cokes and the hot dogs and the T-shirts and everything. It's costing them a fortune. So this year, you know, MLB is trying to do everything they can to make it a better deal for families. Some teams are offering free parking to get in. Some teams are offering, you know, one adult buys a ticket, two kids will come for free. You know, there are a number of family packages that a lot of the teams are doing.
So how are the teams adjusting to this possible drop in attendance and ticket sales then?
You know, there are a few creative deals. I saw that the Twins, for instance, with the slide of the Dow Jones, have decided that they're going to actually mirror that slide to the ticket sales, especially in the upper deck. So if a ticket's $21, if the Dow closes anywhere in the 6,000s that day, they're going to make that ticket $6. Closes in the 7,000s, that ticket will be $7. And almost every team has some sort of creative promotional angle like that.
Who, Diana, stands to gain if baseball clubs aren't getting the people in?
You know, honestly, the only silver lining I can see in all this is that people are staying home, okay? If they're not going to the park, they like the game, they're staying home. So it could be that the television ratings will go through the roof.
And plus, there's a new MLB Network, too.
There is a new MLB Network, so, you know, people can watch their own team round the clock instead of just watching the Yankees day in and day out. I didn't say that. I'm a Yankee fan.
Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad. Diana, thank you.
Steve, thank you.
And share your thoughts with us at Marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.